Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you that we can come and just hear your word, come and gather, whether here in person or on Zoom, God, to hear your word and just be together as a body. Lord, we just ask that your Spirit will guide and lead this time. Open our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear what it is that you have to share with each and every one of us today. Amen. So two Sundays ago was Pentecost, and I did a little mini sermon for the kids. And since then, I've been really, I don't know if the right word is meditating, but the idea of fire has been running through my mind the last 2 weeks. What is the significance of fire? And I could have actually used many verses in the Bible to describe fire, how God appears through fire, how God speaks through fire. But I chose Pentecost because we just passed it. Now, I don't know about you guys, but growing up, especially where I did, in the summer we loved camping, right? And one of the reasons we loved camping was we could sit around a fire, roast marshmallows. I don't think this is the greatest name for this camping meal. It's quite, it's not a great name, but we called them hobo pies. So not really, I don't know what else to call it, but that's what we called it growing up. Basically, you take tin foil, and you would throw in some meat and some potatoes and some vegetables, wrap it up with seasoning and throw it in the fire and let it cook. And so these were things that were so fun. But you also knew that the fire was dangerous and that you needed to stay away from that fire. Like you couldn't get too close, right? In fifth grade, we went on a survival camp for one night and we had to build our own fires, build our own shelters, and all of that, but you wanted the tent. Well, the tent, it was a piece of plastic, and then we slept on the ground, while the parent volunteer got an actual tent. And so you wanted to be as close to the fire as possible so you wouldn't get cold at night, but not so close that you'd accidentally touch it in your sleep. Because we recognize that fire brings us warmth, it brings us comfort, it can provide heat for cooking food, but it can also burn us. I remember going camping with some family friends, and their son actually fell into the fire. And it was after that, like, I was traumatized. I couldn't go near fire for a while. Well, for a couple of years, because his burn was so bad. His burn was so bad that his parents just couldn't clean the wound. Like, they were traumatized. So my mom would go over almost every day to help them clean his wounds because my mom and him had such a really good relationship that they could do that because the parents, like, they couldn't hold him down, but my mom could hold him down. They could do it and clean it because of the pain that came from it. And so when I think about fire, I'm like, why did God appear through fire so often in the Old Testament? And here we see in the New Testament when the Holy Spirit comes. Why in, I think, the book of Hebrews, it describes God as a consuming fire. A consuming fire. When we think about fire, there are three things that I think of. Comfort, danger, and life. Comfort, danger, and life. And when I think about God, I think of power, holiness, and protection that appears when you see throughout Scripture Jesus or God appearing through, speaking through, guiding through fire. We see his power, we see his holiness, and we see his protection. In Deuteronomy 4:12, and actually this is spoken of a couple times, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard sounds of words, but you saw no form, only a voice." And this is in the context of Moses on the mountain, right? The Ten Commandments. God spoke through fire. God spoke through fire. When we look at Pentecost itself, it's actually a direct correlation to that moment. There are many things that you see what's going on. You have the arrival of the first covenant, God speaking through fire. People were in awe and wonder, right? The Ten Commandments, we know that they messed up. They built an idol, all of that in there. But God is walking the Jewish people into the first covenant he has with them. Then we fast forward to Acts 2, and we have the new church, the early church starting. The beginning of the church, the new covenant, and how does God choose to appear to his people again? Through fire. This symbol of a new covenant with God is demonstrated through fire. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a wildfire in person. I haven't, but you know, if you ever see pictures and if you ever see it on TV, there's something quite beautiful about it. I'm not talking about when man makes a mistake and doesn't put out the fire. That's devastating. But like when lightning strikes and fire consumes a forest, oftentimes we're left thinking this is tragic, this is terrible. But actually in reality, it's one of the most necessary things for new life to grow. That fire needs to come down, burn out the things in the way, so that the seeds that can only be activated by the heat can sprout up and new life can begin. When we think about fire and our personal lives, fire can represent that the hardships of life, the things that we're struggling with, the things that we're having a hard time with, and that fire, that tension that comes into play can allow us to get rid of the things that are no longer good, right? Think about the new church. There's things from their old way of life, even though maybe they were Jews and they were following God, they needed a shift. They needed a change. Jesus literally had to die and come back to life for this new life to begin. And so in your old life, you may be going through hardships and troubles, and maybe it's not a physical fire, but it allows for this new growth, this new life to take place. And so as we think about Pentecost and we think about what God did on that day, right? And usually last year when we did it for the kids in the video, Lisa and I bought a cake. We put candles in it. We sang happy birthday, you know, so there's kind of like that flame remembrance. God is descending. God is descending and wanting to bring us in. He's wanting us to have something new in our life. We often talk about what does it mean to be filled by the Holy Spirit? And honestly, sometimes it's one of those hard things. We can talk, we can share, but we know on Pentecost what it meant was newness, change. They literally, after being filled in the Holy Spirit, went out, and Peter, who denied Jesus three times, right? And Jesus came down and did the whole, do you love me? And then he's like, I love you like a friend, you know? And then finally Jesus comes down to his level and says, yes, I love you like a friend. But Peter comes out and boldly preaches the good news. He boldly tells people about Jesus, and people come to know him. Right? We talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's something about having an experience with God that is so vital to our faith. Those disciples, those followers of Jesus who are meeting in the upper room, had an experience that I do believe we can still have today. I don't necessarily think we're going to see fires over top of our heads, but if we do, that'd be cool. I think that'd be quite interesting to see, right? But why is it the fire that comes down instead of the cloud, right? If you think about it, the cloud also covered the mountain. The cloud guided the Israelites in the wilderness. And I'm just proposing, I don't know for sure, but I wonder if maybe God reveals himself in fire that first day of the new church, as we like to call it, because it's a remembrance of not just his holiness, not just his comfort, but that God is also a dangerous God. I don't mean for us to be like terrified of him in that sense, but think about when people encounter God, there is something like when his angels come down. I have no idea what angels look like, right? But there's something about them. And they are in the presence of God. And I sometimes wonder if maybe the reason, maybe, just maybe, the reason people are afraid of angels when they see them is that because they actually get to be in the presence of God, are they radiating something off of them of God that we are not able to see yet? There's something, maybe, just maybe. I could be totally wrong on that, and I'm cool with being wrong on that. Okay? But there's something. But God chose to send his spirit through fire. He chose to send it to fire. Let's think about how God is our comfort. You know, as a college student, sometimes my mom would ask me where I would go to church on Sunday. And usually, to be fair, usually I did go to church, but not always. And one of my responses to her was, I went to the parish of the Major Comforter, because a duvet cover is also called a comforter. No one got that. Okay, P. Andrew got that one. Okay, I slept. I didn't go to church. I wrapped up in my blanket and I didn't leave for the day. Right? But I was you can be comforted by God. That fire, as you draw near it, comforts you. It provides heat and warmth. You know, when you're struggling in life or having good times in life, are we going to God for comfort? Where is the first place we run to? Where is the first person we turn to? Who is the first one we share our trials, our hurts, our pains, our joys, our successes with? Is it God? I think when we remember God in the fire, we can remember that he provides us comfort. He provides us warmth. He provides us food and our basic needs. He provides us more than our basic needs as well. Right? He provides that comfort to us. But oftentimes, what do? I can only speak for myself. I run to, well, not so much Netflix these days, but Hulu or Paramount or Peacock or, you know, any streaming services I can find. Right? I might run to Sally or Lisa and vent my frustrations. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with going to people. God, Holy Spirit lives in us. Going to people can be comfort from God too. But are we directly going to God? Are we falling on our knees? Are we sitting on our chairs? Are we pausing before him daily so that we can bring forth to him all the things we need? You know, at wintertime, sitting by the fire in my mom's living room, reading a book or just playing with my nieces or nephews or talking with my family, there's something so warm about it. There's something that we just, you don't want to do it in the summer, it's too hot. But in the winter, right, it's cold outside. And it just brings so much comfort. Are we doing that with God? Are we running to him? You know, life comes from fire. And I already talked about how, you know, a fire burns down, the seeds come up. But are we remembering that our life comes from God? Are we remembering that the fire represents life? Are we so consumed by the fire about its beauty or its danger that we forget that it's life-giving? Are we so focused on God in the correct theology? Are we so focused on God in behaving a certain way? Are we so focused on God on doing X, Y, Z that we miss out on what God is actually trying to teach us, actually trying to do? That he is our life. Do we forget that? That all things come from God and eternity comes from Jesus. Eternity comes from God and we can have an abundant life today. Let's not be misled on what an abundant life is. All right? An abundant life does not mean a big house and a fancy car. Abundant life means joy. It means community. Abundant life means having the presence of God. It's having the ability to pray for people and they be healed. You know, this Sunday, we at SP Kids, they were teaching on how Peter healed the beggar at the gate, right? And he asked for money and they say, I don't have that, but what I have is get up, you know, I have Jesus get up and walk, be healed. The guy celebrates. And on Sunday, two kids, one got a bloody nose, and one kid, I think it was a bug bite, but they were both in pain. And so we were actually able to have the kids. I was like, well, it's not like you choose to want these things to happen. But if any Sunday for something like that to happen, it's kind of the perfect Sunday because we're trying to teach the kids to pray for healing. And thankfully, both kids were fine. Both parents were cool. I messaged the mom of the bug bite. I didn't message the parent. So honestly, the kid was fine, but we just put a Band-Aid on it to make them feel good about themselves. But the bloody nose mom was cool. The daughter wanted to go back to class. I was all good. But they were able to practice praying. You know, the theme was God's spirit is powerful. Do we believe that? Do we truly believe God's spirit is powerful? Not just for healing of people, but giving us a life of comfort and peace in God, that he's with us, that power of that spirit that lives in us can bring us joy. I think oftentimes when we hear the word abundant life or life, we think of the worldly sense. But here God is really, it's really about this life in him. And finally, the danger in the fire. God is dangerous. We should not take him lightly. I've shared this story before, but every time I think about God being dangerous, I remember when I was teacher aiding in college. I had to do a semester where I wasn't student teaching, where I took over the class, but helping out a teacher. And in that time, I had to teach a couple times, maybe four or five times. And then most of the time, I was grading or walking around helping the kids. And I remember the teacher I was working with told the kids, if you don't behave when she's teaching her few lessons, God will smite you. And I remember sitting in the back of the room going, I'm not sure that was the best thing to say to the kids. I don't really think that's what we should be teaching them. But there was something about the fact that he was very, he recognized, and actually if you knew the guy, that's not how he believed. It's not how, he was trying to be funny, but with sixth graders, they take you a little too literally, so it didn't quite work out. But there's that power in God. There's that reverence. You know, when we come before God, are we just flippant? Because as you approach a fire, you know, I think about Will, the friend of our family who fell in the fire. He was a kid. He didn't realize the danger of that fire. He was playing catch around the fire and he fell in. Right? As an adult, you hold kids back from the fire because you realize they get too close. You yourself don't get too close. And if you do and you get burned, well, it's kind of on you because you know better. Right? But are we like that with God? Do we come before him boldly and yet respectfully? Do we come before him in honor and humility? You know, I think about Sundays. Do we just come in late? Do we come in rushed? Or do we take the time to pause before entering service? Right? God's everywhere. We know that. But do we take the time to pause before God to honor him? Not just Sundays, not just when we choose to, but every time just pausing before him, remembering who he is. Because he is holy. You know, and so when I think about why God appears so many times in fire, right, even demonstrating that he's the true God after, you know, they dumped a whole bunch of water on the altar, right, and you have the prophets of Baal running around trying to get it fire to come down, and clearly it won't. And God, even in the water, the drenching of the wood, the drenching of the altar, he makes himself known through fire. And so when I think about fire, I think about these things, about God, who he is. And maybe, just maybe, that is why God chooses to appear and to speak at both of his covenants through fire, to remind us of these things about who he is. And I'm sure there's more to why God chose that, but that's kind of what God has been speaking to me. And so if P. Andrew can come up, let's just spend some time going before God. What aspect of God's fire do you need today in your life? Is there an area that you really need? Do you need to really experience his comfort today? Maybe you need his life-giving power today. Or maybe, just maybe, you need to be reminded of his holiness, the power that he has, that he is dangerous. He's not to be taken lightly. So let's just meditate on that and ask God to speak to us about which of these three, or maybe it's all three or two, that you need to hear today.
hearts a passion for your name. Stirring up in our hearts, Lord. Stirring up in our hearts, Lord. Stirring up in our hearts a passion for your name. Stirring up in our hearts, Lord. Stirring up in our hearts, Lord. Stirring up in our hearts a passion for your name. Stirring up in our hearts, Lord. Stirring up in our hearts, Lord. Stirring up in our hearts a passion for your name. Consuming fire, fan into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, won't you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us.
And as we were worshiping, I went back to that idea of the wildfire that started naturally versus the man-made fire that can have the same consequence, the same outcome. But I was thinking, I got this picture of when God is the one that initiates that fire in your life, that's when good life can start to form. And though it may be painful in the process, the aftermath is beautiful and wonderful. And we have a choice to ask God to be the one to initiate those changes, to remove things that may even be good, that look beautiful, those beautiful old trees that get taken down in a fire. But when we allow God to be one to remove it, it's the thing that brings great life into our lives. And we have a choice to allow God to do it or the world to do it. And which one is better? I mean, it's an easy answer. It's when God does it. So maybe, and I know this might seem a little scary, because we know that would mean things would be removed from our life that are good. But maybe our prayer this morning is to ask God to be the one to light a fire in our lives, though it may be painful at moments, to remove those things that are getting in the way of His true purpose, His true calling for each and every one of us. So let's just take a moment, and if you feel called to pray that prayer, just quietly in your hearts, or if you're at home, pray it out loud. Ask God to come and remove the things that don't belong anymore. Take a moment to give praise to God for the things He's done today and this last week. Get our hearts right before Him. Those who are battling cancer right now or going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery, recovering, let's just really pray for God's presence to be made known in their lives and their family and friends' lives. Let's just pray that they stay faithful to God during this time and that God will be their comfort. And let's pray for healing. Let's pray for those who are sick but also need to meet Jesus. Let's just pray that they will truly understand the fear and awe that is our God. Let's pray that their eyes, their hearts, their minds will be open to Him. They will be saved, and that God will also physically heal their different infirmities. Let's pray for those in our community who are battling other infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing hand to be present in their life. For those who are looking for jobs, Andrew and Jenny, let's really just pray that God will open the right door at the right time. Let's pray for patience in this season of waiting. And let's just pray that God will prepare them for what He's calling them into next. Pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government, the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival in this city. Let's pray for the churches, Sports Service International, Shanti, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress, especially students as it's exam time. Let's just pray for peace, especially after such a crazy year. Let's just pray that God will just be made known to them in this time. Up the staff, let's lift up us, pray for us that we are united, just pray that that we can just be God's hands and feet for this church and in this city. Let's lift up PSAM as he's quarantining. Let's just pray that during that time he can really just encounter God, download for God where to take us next, what to do next. And let's pray for the staff. Thank you. of our hospitality teams, welcoming, led by P. Andrew and barista by Caleb. Barista is on break currently, let's just pray that God will just create such a warm atmosphere that it's not just these teams that are hospitable to people, but our entire church will be known as being a place that is welcoming and open to anyone that comes. Up our worship sound and AV teams led by P. Nate Conrad and P. Kenny. Let's just really pray that they can just be serving and worshiping and leading out of an overflow. Let's just pray for smooth technical sides of things, and let's just pray for wisdom for these teams. For house churches meeting tonight, Chai Tea, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, K House, OPR, and Princeton. Let's just pray that tonight they can really experience the power of the Holy Spirit. They can really encounter God. Let's pray that they can really, iron sharpens iron, be a place of true fellowship with one another. Lift up the pregnancies. These are just a few. Vivian, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Monica, Ealing, Vicky, and many others who are pregnant currently. Let's just pray that God's hand will be on these women as they're carrying these little babies. Let's pray for healing through the different surgeries that are happening and the different health issues that these babies are facing. Let's pray for God's healing hand to be on each of them, and that miracles will be taking place inside these wombs, and these babies will be born just exactly how God has created them to be. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are with us, that you guide us, that you comfort us. Lord, we thank you that you are powerful. Lord, we thank you that your presence isn't just something that the Bible speaks of, but something that we can tangibly experience today. God, I pray that each and every one of us, if we've never experienced your fullness of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that today will be that day. God, and I pray, Lord, that we will be filled by your Spirit continuously, that we will be empowered by you to do what you call us to do, but more importantly, to be with you, to spend time with you, to sit at your feet, and to understand you more. And so, God, as we go about our day today, help us to remember you in all that we do. Help us to remember that you are God and that you are with us. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray, amen. Have a great and wonderful rest of your prayer time and a great day. We hope to see you here tomorrow.